We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, our subject for discussion is sin and salvation. The God of the Bible is the creator of the world and all things that are in it. That is not an inherent antagonism between God and the things He created. It simply is not true that all material things are inherently evil and all spiritual things are inherently good. From the Bible we learn that God surveyed each part of this world as He created it and said that it was good. According to Genesis chapter 1. And at the end of His total work of creation, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, as expressed in Genesis verse 31 of the first chapter. In its original perfect state, after the 6 days of creation, our world was functioning in complete harmony with the will of God and was prepared to yield its potential abundance to the man who had been granted dominion over the earth. With reference to man himself, he too was created good. About this, there can be no doubt. For man was created in the very image of God Himself. The Bible reveals, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Thus created, man evidently enjoyed a totally free and intimate relationship with God. It was a relationship without defect or any blemish. It was as perfect as a relationship could possibly be. Still, man in the flesh, God was God. This ideal relationship between man and God did not last very long, however. Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden and lost their right of open communion with their Creator. The prospect of pain and suffering and death blighted the perfect happiness and joy which they had previously experienced. Even the earth itself was cursed and was caused to bring forth thorns and briars, which would complicate man's task of growing and harvesting food from the soil. The Apostle Paul observed, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Romans 8, verse 22. And thus it has been from the time of Adam and Eve until now. The elements of our universe are frequently hostile to human existence. Storms and floods and earthquakes and similar catastrophes occur too often in all parts of the world. Disease, death, and heartbreaks are common lot of mankind. And my friends, why is this so? Why did the perfect communion of man and God end so abruptly? Why did man's pleasant and peaceful life become a dismal and distasteful one? The answer to all these perplexing questions can be given in one word. Sin. Sin is the cause of it all. Sin has separated man and his world from God who created them. It was the sin of Adam and Eve that caused the soil to withhold its bounty for Adam. But not only did God cause Adam and Eve to suffer as a result of their sins, all of their descendants have had to suffer the consequences of their evil. Although we do not bear the guilt of Adam's sin, since the guilt of sin is entirely a personal matter, we do bear the consequences of his sin. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5, verse 12. The Bible in 1 John 3, 4 defines sin as the transgression of the law. The literal meaning of the Greek word translated sin in our New Testament is to miss the mark. or to veer away from that which is right. The word is used to designate every form of wrongdoing, every act which is contrary to the will of God, as expressed in the law He has given. The term refers to both positive sins of commission and the negative sins of omission. Hence, if one misses the mark by going beyond what God has authorized, or by failing to measure up to the divine standard set by God, he becomes a sinner, a transgressor of the law. Although Adam and Eve were the first mortals to commit sin, they certainly were not the last ones to do so. Human sin began in Eden, but it did not end there. From the time of Adam to our generation, there has been only one man who ever lived totally above sin, and that was the person Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Every other responsible adult who has ever lived has transgressed the divine law and is a sinner. Paul summed up the matter in Romans 3:23 when he said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is a serious matter. It being true that all men sin, it is an important question to ask, how serious is it, really, for a man to sin? Most people seem to treat it rather lightly, as if they think only of the sin of Adam and Eve and the involvement of penalty. They seem to think that they can treat the laws of God with contempt and get by with it. But what are the facts, as stated by God in His Word? Does God still hold men accountable for their actions? Does the Bible teach that men will suffer for their transgressions? Hear the Apostle Paul, and I say, are you listening? He declared, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 6, verse 23. Did you hear God's verdict? Yes, my friends. The wages of sin will always be death. Sin is the source of all of man's problems in life. Man's only hope is to free himself of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In that same chapter, Paul spoke of some who became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Romans 6:17, 18. Paul declared that they were delivered, made free from sin. This freedom from sin and gift of eternal life is from God through Christ and in Christ. In verses 3 and 4 of this text, Romans 6, Paul mentions the fact that we may know how and when a person is made free from his sins. He said, "We who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death. But like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also might walk in newness of life." My friends, obey the gospel commands. Live in the light of God's will as his child, and sin will not overcome you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible definitely teaches that man may suffer for his sins. Not only do we suffer certain consequences of the sins of Adam and Eve, but we especially bear the guilt of our own personal transgression of God's law. We will pay the penalty for such transgressions. Many calamities, including disruption of nature, with the penalties of disease and death, are the common lot for man as a result of Adam's sin. But it is the tragic consequences of each man's personal sins that I wish to call attention to in this matter of study. There are several words which impress our mind with the terribleness of sin. Words such as separation, deterioration, contamination, and condemnation. Now, in the first place, the soul that sins is separated from God. Sin separates man from God. The people of Isaiah's generation were greatly distressed over a series of spiritual reverses they had suffered. It was obvious to them that God was not hearing their prayers and granting their requests, so they began to speculate about it. Some evidently suggested that God was growing dull of hearing, while others may have thought that God had lost His power. It almost sounds like the 20th century, with its theories that God is dead and the like. At any rate, just like modern man, they were sure that the fault was with God and not with themselves. But God's spokesman, Isaiah, spoke to the people declaring, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He will not hear." Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Yes, Isaiah put the blame where it belonged. The fault was not God's hearing or His power to bless, but the problem was with the sinfulness of the people. Their sins had separated them from God. Their open and flagrant violations of His law had cut them off from the source of all blessings. This incident from the Old Testament reminds one of the situation of our time, as I suggested a moment ago. A whole host of religious people are asking the same old questions, like, "Has God forgotten us?" Or, "Has God lost the power to change the lives of men and nations today?" Some have answered these questions in the affirmative, and a few have gone so far even to suggest that God is dead, or at least that He is retired. Such people, ladies and gentlemen, like the men of Isaiah's time, assume that all unhappiness, crime, poverty, and moral evil of our day is somehow the fault of God. They seem unable or unwilling to consider the possibility that these spiritual reverses are in any way our own fault. Many recognize that God and man are separated, but they assume that the separation must be due to some evil prank that God is playing on humanity. Such a theory as this is nothing short of pure blasphemy. It is incredible what some men can come up with in the realm of religion and then expect people to be gullible enough to follow after it. The sad fact is that many people do not bother to think for themselves. Rather, swallow anything spoken or written by some man who professes to be a scholar or a wise man of the cloth, so to speak. The truth of the matter is, God is high and holy, but man is terribly wicked. This is the reason for the critical estrangement of man and his Creator. We cannot blame God for our misfortunes, but it is our own sinfulness that has separated our world from its perfect and loving Father, the Creator of this universe. Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, not only does sin cause separation, but it also has a deteriorating effect upon man. Hear my words, beloved. Are you listening? The simple truth regarding this matter of sin is the fact that man may become worse and worse after having begun sinning. Once he has cut himself off from God, there is no hope for his becoming a better person while in this alienated condition. God is the source of goodness and life, and sin separates man from God and casts him adrift, leaving him at the mercy of Satan and all of his unrighteous purposes. That is a basic principle that works invariably with man and the practice of sin. When one first realizes that he has sinned against God and is separated from Him, his soul will likely be almost flooded with genuine feeling of sorrow and remorse. But unless he does something about his condition by repentance immediately, he is running a great risk, because the longer he stays away from God, the less likely it is that he will ever return. After a while, he simply refuses to think about his lost condition. he pushes thoughts about God out of his mind. He refuses to read his Bible or pray. Finally, his heart becomes hard, and that is a sense of urgency on the part of some, that he should repent, but not the sinner himself. He can now commit sin without any feeling of sorrow at all. Sin has hardened his heart to the tender appeals of God through his gospel. His love and his mercy is spurned. The Bible advises us to exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Yes, sin is deceitful. Salvation is an urgent matter, but sin is so deceitful. The reason for this is obvious. It is in their teen and early adult years that people are first confronted with the fact that they are lost, and are given their first opportunity to be saved. If that invitation is spurned even just once, sin's deteriorating power goes to work to harden the sinner's heart. Now, isn't that true? What commands of God do you need to obey from the heart right now, your heart? Do you need to believe and repent, confess your faith in the Christ, and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins? Do you need to be restored to the Lord? My friends,